This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Anna Carmo. In this week's program, the UN mission in South Sudan protests the arrest of a staff radio journalist, and we hear from a Nigerian activist who is taking a bottom-to-top approach to inclusive peace building. But first, the attack on the Dayax Hotel in the Somali capital of Mogadishu on Wednesday has been described by the UN there as a desperate attempt by Al-Shabaab extremists to disrupt the electoral process. Joseph Contreras, the spokesperson for the UN Assistance Mission in Somalia, UNSOM, said the terrorist group's continual resort to violent tactics is a sign of weakness. At least 20 people were killed and dozens were injured in the attack. Somali officials announced just hours earlier that presidential elections will be held on 8 February. Mr. Contreras spoke on the line from Mogadishu to Jocelyn Sambira.
Well, about today's blast, I would point out that first responders arrived at the hotel that was targeted by the attack quite quickly and brought the situation under control. Again, it shows al-Shabaab's desperation in its efforts to disrupt this electoral process. And it is a sign of weakness, we think, their continued resort to violent tactics that are rejected by the vast majority of Somali citizens.
Can you give us an update on the casualties regarding the Dayax Hotel attack?
The latest figures that we've been seeing range between 15 and 20 dead, some of whom were the attackers themselves, some of whom were Somali soldiers, and perhaps about half of those being civilians. And dozens were injured, including at least 5 journalists.
In the hotel, reportedly, there were members of parliament.
It is a hotel that's frequented by members of parliament who are based outside the Somali capital and stay at the hotel during visits to Mogadishu. I'm not aware that any lawmaker has been confirmed among the dead.
Would we say it's sort of a setback in terms of the security situation there?
Well, it's certainly a source of concern for all key stakeholders involved in the 2016 electoral process. There has been a bit of an increase in attacks in Mogadishu since the new year began. I can recall offhand about 3 attacks that have taken place thus far in January prior to today's explosion. I think this, once again, shows the desperation of violent extremists to derail the electoral process. Throughout the electoral process, there was not a single instance of the actual voting being sabotaged by the likes of al-Shabaab. So I think it has to be seen in that perspective, desperate attempt by violent extremists to derail the electoral process as it enters its very final stage. But this attack will in no way deter Somalia from completing this electoral process.
The UN mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, has protested the arrest of a journalist working for the UN's radio station in Juba. The Radio Miraya journalist and UN staff member was detained for 5 hours by government soldiers while covering a story at a John Garang mausoleum on Tuesday. UNMISS spokesperson Daniel Dickinson says the UN mission has been in touch with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs over the incident. He spoke to Gabriel Shadar.
On Tuesday morning, the 24th of January, the Radio Maria journalist and UN staff member was assigned to cover the public medical camp being conducted by the Moroccan Medical Corps at the John Garang Mausoleum here in Juba. A number of SPLA soldiers arrested the staff member and forced him to lie down in the back of a pickup truck. He reports that a soldier sat on his back while they drove him to the Al Giada military barracks in the city. The SPLA soldiers detained and interrogated him there for about 5 hours. He was then released without charge.
What actions do UNMISS have taken following this incident?
UNMISS has been in touch with the South Sudanese authorities, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, to be precise, to raise the issue. The mission has protested what it's called the ill-treatment, harassment, arrest and detention of the staff member. It's important to remember that that under the agreement signed between UNMISS and the government of South Sudan, known as the Status of Forces Agreement, the safety, security and freedom of movement of UNMISS personnel has to be ensured, especially when they're carrying out their official duties, as was the case here. The arrest of the staff member without immediately delivering him to the nearest appropriate representative of the mission, together with relevant evidence, of course, is a violation of this agreement. Now, UNMISS has urged the authorities to investigate this violation and hold the persons involved in the incident accountable under national law.
And for this staff member, is it the first time to experience problems while carrying out his official duties?
This staff member, he's not the only staff member to have experienced problems. It's important to recall that on the 22nd of August last year, that marked 2 years since the incarceration of another of UNMISS's radio journalists, George Livio. There are two other staff members who are also in detention. Now, UNMISS has tried to visit them on a regular basis to check their well-being, but is frequently denied access. In these cases, we continue to advocate at the highest levels of government to ensure that, at the very minimum, detainees have access to medical care and visits by family and lawyers.
What are the principles here at stake?
Well, this is all about press freedom and freedom of information, which UNMISS considers as crucial foundations of democracy, of development and dialogue, and also as preconditions for protecting and promoting all other human rights. Now, this is recognised in Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and naturally, media workers, journalists, bloggers, they all have responsibilities to report with truth, honesty and impartiality.
Inclusive peace requires a bottom-to-top approach, a Nigerian peace activist said on the margins of a UN high-level dialogue on sustaining peace for all. Joy Onyesu, president of the International League for Peace and Freedom, helps train and build the capacity of women in local communities to build peace and prevent conflict. She also works in northeastern Nigeria, where Boko Haram militants have killed civilians, abducted and raped women and girls. She shared with Jocelyn Sambira what strategies the women are using and what her organization is doing to help.
You know, Northern Nigeria is a big space. We have three other geopolitical zones in the Northern Nigeria. So in particular, the worst hit is the northeastern geopolitical zone of Nigeria, where we have the Boko Haram crisis. But I wouldn't want to say what my organization is doing. I want to say what the women on the ground are doing. Because sometimes the assumption we have is that we need to come in with interventions. Meanwhile, the locals have their own local peace architectures in which they used to sustain peace at their own level and also prevent conflict. We have local partners whom we are partnering with in northeastern Nigeria, and we feed into their process. So it's like a bottom-top approach. Even though we are Nigerians, but there's some nuances we can't understand because we're outside the region. And so we only try to support and then lend a platform for their voices to be heard.
Can you share with us what some of these women have been doing at their level, in their communities? What is working for them?
The early warning and early response, networking is very critical, the way we understand it from them. They form network across religious groups. So it's not just about Muslim or Christian, but it's a network of women, human rights defenders. So the crisis have pushed all of them together, has merged them into one. And so it's not about them or theirs, it's about us. It's about, so they see themselves as one, and so they network. And they said that is working very well for them on ground.
So when you say early warning, what exactly do they do?
So what they do basically is to share information. One woman told us that sometimes at night they hear some particular movement. In fact, most of the local chiefs have the numbers of the other chiefs in different communities. So probably at night they hear some movement or anything. They would call around to say, this is what we heard. This is what may happen. So just be on the watch out. And so the women most times will flee the community with their children before the intruders come in.
And where can, for example, groups like yours, where can they then come in to sort of enhance what the local women are doing?
First of all, to create a safe space for them to discuss. Because we found out that with all this going on, there's a lot of distrust. No one knows who to trust with information and who to tell. Because we know we're dealing with violent extremism and some other issues. So the first thing is to build a trust.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. We are also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Anna Carmi.